Let's thank the Lord and bless Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We give You praise. We worship You. We bless Your holy name. We appreciate You, God, for bringing us to another time with You. We glorify Your name. We magnify Your name. Declare You as God. Blessed be Your name. Come again to teach, to learn from You, O Lord. Teach us everything that we need to know so that we can do the work that You asked us to do. Blessed be Your name, Lord. We give You praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank You. We're here today again to learn at Your feet those things that we need to know to be able to do the work that You ask us to do, and to be able to live a victorious Christian life that will give honor and glory to Your name. Blessed be Your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, we ask that You take control of the teaching. Lord Jesus, You said once we are gathered, two or three of us are gathered together in Your name, You will be here. Father, we thank You because You said You will oversee everything that we are doing. Therefore, we thank You. Because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are here. Blessed be Your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today we're learning about something that I find very exciting, but which we don't take much notice of. And that is learning about angels and how to put them to use. So this teaching is called Making Full Use of Angelic Assistance in Warfare. Making Full Use of Angelic Assistance in Warfare. Amen. Making Full Use of Angelic Assistance in Warfare. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, spiritual warfare is a battle that is fought in the spirit using spiritual weapons, right? Using spiritual weapons, using spiritual strategies, but the effect is felt, is seen in the physical. Amen.
Amen.
The effect is seen in the physical. Now, if you can see into the spirit, you will see some of the things that are happening. You see a demon being bound. You see fire somewhere. You see earthquake. I've felt earthquake under my feet before. I was being kidnapped, and suddenly they were pushing me into the car. And suddenly, earthquake. I felt under my feet, earthquake. They dropped me and ran in the spirit. That was a dream. Amen. So whatever we're doing, you may be able to see the effect in the spirit, but definitely in the physical, we will gradually see the effect of what we're doing. It may be immediate, and it may be on a gradual basis. Amen. And that is why the Bible says we faint not. For what? It is a battle of faith. You see. It's a battle of your faith. It's a trial of your faith. I think it's in 1 Peter. They talked about the trial of our faith. Has God said this, then He's going to do it. In 1 Timothy 1:18, they said we must war over whatever God said He will do. Then warring over it, we continue to hold on to our faith no matter how it looks. Amen. Now, one great people that God made available for us in the spirit realm. You know, we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we always forget angels. Amen.
Amen.
Angels are a very key factor in spiritual warfare. In fact, they're a very key factor in the life of a Christian. Because it is very plain. First, Hebrews 1:13-14 made it very, very clear that they were made for us. Angels were actually made for us, to assist us. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. Let me read. He said, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'?" We know, of course, he said that to Jesus, isn't it? This is quoted from the Psalms. Verse 14. He now said something. He said, "Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister to for them who are heirs of salvation?" So they were sent to minister to us. That's what they are there for. They always call themselves servants of God or messengers of God. And if we are children of God, it means that, of course, it means that the princes and princesses, the angels, the servants and the messengers in the palace would be at your beck and call. Amen. Although this one doesn't work like that. Like, let me just say it from the beginning, that we cannot command angels. We cannot command them. It is God that commands them. Anyway, let's just continue. Now, angels are a group of invaluable assistants that God gave to his children. They are invaluable. They work for us even when we are not aware that they are there. You see? They work for us. Sometimes they manifest as humans. And you would not even know that person that's assisting you in the market is an angel. You will not know. Unless God later tells you. I've had encounters like that, especially on mission field. I've had encounters like that, and God will say, "You see, because you are coming home late from church, all the people sitting with you in the car were angels." I said, "Wow." I said, "Yes, all of them, including the one sitting in front and put his head down all the time. They are all angels." Amen. We've had encounters where my children say, no, that one is not a human being, it's an angel. Amen. They are invaluable. We cannot do without them. We cannot do without them. And because we are children of their master, they are always willing and they are waiting to help us. They are always willing and waiting to help us. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're going to go into that later. They are under the direction of the Holy Spirit because they are called winds. You see? And the Holy Spirit is called wind. He said the wind blows where it likes, and no man knows where it's going or where it's come. So it's everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit makes us too like winds when we pray. Like when we go on a certain assignment, you don't want them to see you. You say, "Lord, make me like the wind." So they call angels to winds because they are under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, if we look at the Bible, you will see that from Genesis to Revelation, angelic manifestations are there. You see? They are just there, you know, scattered all over the place. From the first one that God put to the angel with the flaming sword that he put to stand at the door of Eden to make sure nobody enters the place again, to angels like even the one that met even Hagar. Hagar was an unbeliever. She was an Egyptian. But because she was a member of the household of somebody that had a covenant with God, and that is Abraham, angels went looking for her. When she ran away, they went looking for her twice. First, when she ran away, and the second time when Abraham has to send her and her son away. And she too was surprised, said, "Wow, so God can see me in this place." And she gave a name to God and said, his name is Elroy, God that seest me. So we have to be conscious. We cannot push them aside. This is what I want to say. We cannot push them aside. And if we don't know about them, then we are not making full use of them. We're not making full use of them. It is the truth that you know that sets you free. We must be conscious of every truth that God has put in place for us. We must also regularly ask for angelic assistance. We must always ask for angelic assistance because we cannot go far without it. We cannot go far without their assistance. You can see right from the beginning of the time Jesus was born, angels were sent to go and tell the shepherds, remember? In fact, angels were sent to his father and his mother to let them know he's coming. Angels were sent to the father of John the Baptist, his forerunner, to let them know John is coming, he's a forerunner, you know? Then when immediately he began his ministry and he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, the Bible says after the temptation, after the fasting and the temptation, angels came and ministered to him. And it continued like that. At Gethsemane, an angel was there to strengthen him. So people were never surprised about angelic manifestations. The parents of Samson. The only thing is that they will just feel as if, I hope I didn't offend God. What has this one come to do now? You know? Hallelujah. Now, their assignments include bringing important messages from God to us, fighting along with us, or for us, where we cannot see. They'll be fighting for us, where we cannot even see. And they also come to strengthen us when we are weary. When we're tired, they come to strengthen us. Especially when you are fasting. A time of fasting is a time of angelic manifestation. A time of Passover, it's a time of angelic manifestation. Like you are waiting for a breakthrough. You are stepping into a breakthrough. You are getting married. You are having children. You are going to school. You are starting a new job. Those are the times we call the time of Passover. Is that there are times, those are times of angelic manifestations. God will send angels to come and minister to us. And if it is a very important Passover, the Lord Jesus himself will come. The Lord Jesus himself will come. As he did at the plains of Jericho. Let's look at it. As he did at the plains of Jericho. I'm reading something that I didn't prepare now. I think it's Joshua 6, towards the end. I'm not sure if it's Joshua 6 or Joshua 5, the last page. We're still going to talk about it later. The last verse, where he said, an angel, they saw a man on the plains of Jericho as they will enter the promised land. You see? Joshua 6. And they had just, if you back up a bit, no, just look at the last two verses for us. Joshua 6. But if we back up a bit, in that same Joshua, you see that they've just taken the Passover and they were going to cross over into the promised land. And who?
Joshua,
yes?
And Joshua joined them at that time.
No. Please put it on the table because We need to hear your voice. No, it's Joshua 5. The last is Joshua 5. Joshua 6 is the fall of Jericho. Joshua 5 is the last three verses. Okay. Joshua 5.
And it came to pass.
Yes.
When Joshua was by Jericho.
Yes.
That they lifted up his eyes.
Yes.
And looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him.
That's it. It's Joshua 5.
With his sword drawn in his hand.
Okay, so he saw a man dressed like a warrior with a sword drawn in his hand. Yes.
And Joshua went unto him.
Yes.
And said unto him, mm-hmm. Art thou for us or for our adversaries?
Yes.
And he said, mm-hmm. Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, mm-hmm. am I now on.
Now, I want you to look at that language, the way he put that language, as the captain of the hosts. Am I now come? That means he could come as somebody else. He has come in another form in the past, or he's going to come in another form later on later on. But at this time, as he didn't say, I'm the captain of the host. Michael is the captain of the host. He didn't say, I am the captain of the host. So that's the first thing that we see here. He didn't say, I am. He said, as the captain of the host. So as he has come alone and he sees him alone, he's not alone. The hosts are there. It's just that Joshua cannot see them. So that's number one. He said, am I now come? Yes. What else did he say?
And Joshua fell on his face.
Yes.
Earth,
yes.
And did worship.
Okay. Number two, that angel accepted worship. That's the only time you will see an angel accept worship in scripture. Amen.
Amen.
Number three, yes.
And said unto him,
yes.
What said my Lord unto his servant?
Yes.
And the captain of the Lord's
host,
yes. Said unto Joshua, mm-hmm. Loose their shoe from off their feet,
yes.
For the place wherein thou standest is holy, and Joshua did so.
Okay, now who else ever said that to anybody? Take off your shoes, this place you are is holy.
Mm-hmm. You see?
That was God to Moses.
Mm.
That was God in Exodus 3, where he met with him. He said, loose thy foot, thy shoes off thy foot, at the burning bush. God said, take off your shoes, for where you are is holy. So this is how we know that this is not an angel, it's Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is God. He accepted worship. He said, I have only come as the captain of the host. Not that I'm the captain of the host. He accepted worship and he said what only God has said. Now, this is what happens when we are moving from one level of life to the next. In fact, it's one of the ways that I would know that some breakthrough is coming, because I will see the Lord himself. Then you will know that, you know, a breakthrough is coming. It's coming to take you across. Because the place is taking them is the promised land. And Jericho is blocking the way. So in fact, he is the one that fought that war at Jericho with the hosts. The hosts are the ones that pushed down the walls of Jericho. It was not fought by ordinary human beings. Amen.
Amen.
So we must always be ready. You know, we must always be ready we must always be aware that angels are around us and they are helping us. And that beefs up our faith, number one. And it also encourages us to go the whole hog of holiness. Because angels will not cooperate with you, with a nasty person, somebody with a nasty attitude, with a biting tongue, you know, nasty tongue. You cannot say something nice to people. They do not like being around somebody who has an angry spirit. That's why the Bible says, be ye angry, but sin not. You see, nobody says you can't get angry, but you have to curtail it. Because you have to always be aware that angels are there and they will not cooperate with you. God is the one who said so. In somewhere in Exodus, he said, they will not cooperate with you. Be aware of him. God himself told us to be aware that angels are around us all the time. Amen. So we're going to learn about angelic functions later. Now, as spiritual watch warriors and watchmen, we will encounter all manner of spirits. But we must never, most of the time we think every one of them is a demon. You know, we think it's only demons we will encounter. No, we're going to encounter angels as well. They may not reveal themselves to you if you are not aware. Because, they know that this one is always binding demons. Before you come and insult me and bind me now. So they may not reveal themselves to us, but they are there. Now, we must remember that only one third of millions and millions and millions of God's angels fell with Lucifer and became demons. So we still have two thirds working with us. We have double that amount of demons working for us, working with us as angels. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The fall of Lucifer. Let's look at. It's put in three verses of scripture. Isaiah 14:12. We just want to look at Lucifer and how he fell with one third of the angels. That's what I want to look at now. Isaiah 14:12. I will read. Then as soon as you finish reading that, open Revelation 12. Okay, let me give you the scriptures. Isaiah 14:12, Ezekiel 28:14 and 15. Ezekiel 28:14 and 15, and Revelation 12:3 and 4 talks about the fall of Lucifer and how he fell with one third of the angels of God. So Isaiah 12:14, what does it say?
How had thou fallen from heaven, mm-hmm. O Lucifer, mm-hmm. Son of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
How art thou cast down,
yes,
to the ground?
Yes.
Which didst open the nations?
Yes. Okay, that's it.
Okay.
So he fell from heaven. Okay, he was cut down to the ground. He was cut down to the ground. Because he said, I will exalt myself above thee. I will. Okay. Now, Ezekiel, so open Revelation 12 down. Now, the next scripture is Ezekiel 28:14 and 15. He was talking to Lucifer. He said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. That means he covered the throne of God with his wings. So that people will not come near. I mean, so that the other creatures will not come near and be hurt. Because Baba is covered. Is surrounded with fire. Even the throne is placed on stones of fire. And they said it was only Lucifer who could walk on those stones of fire. So he said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have said this so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He said, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So he had to be cast out of heaven. Revelation 12. And what iniquity was found in him? Pride. It's just pride. He felt it was so beautiful because it was so beautiful, because he could sing. He could sing with all the accompanying instruments inside him, because he was the only one who could come close to God. He was kind of immune to the fires, so he felt, it was felt he must receive worship. And so he was cast out to the presence of God. Revelations 12:3-4. Please.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven.
Yes.
And behold, a great red dragon, mm-hmm. having seven heads and ten horns,
yes.
and seven crowns upon his heads.
Mm-hmm.
And his tail drew the third part of the star of heaven.
Yes.
And did cast them to the earth.
Okay. Now this is a prophetic look at what happened in eternity past. Even though they're talking about it in the book of Revelation, it's something that has happened in eternity past. That he still drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. This is where we know that he manipulated one third of the angels. Now the name of so we have demons, one third. These are stars, they call them stars of heaven. They call angels stars of heaven. They call them, in another place they call them sons of God, in Job 1. In another place they call them winds, and so on and so forth. Now so the cast is cast down one third of the angels, and they became fallen angels. They became demons. Now Lucifer's name used to be Morning Star or Bringer of Dawn. Can you imagine such a beautiful name? But immediately he fell, it was changed to Satan, which means adversary. It means adversary. It became an adversary to God and to everything that God wants to do. So he fell from heaven, and he organized the angels that fell with him into a counterfeit spiritual rebel army. He organized them. As he has seen God organize his own army, you know, we're still going to see how God organized the angels. He organized his own too, you know, into a counterfeit spiritual rebel army, in a demonic hierarchy. Give them hierarchy, you know. You are a captain, you are a lieutenant, and you are just an ordinary soldier, you know, like that. But Paul refers to them in Ephesians 6:12 as principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. In Ephesians 6:12, second part, Paul referred to his army and the way he has organized them. Said they have principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. We call all of them demons, but they actually have hierarchy, like a proper army. Amen. Now, Jesus reminds us in a place of that comforting truth that definitely there are more godly angels available than the fallen ones. No matter what they look as if they are troubling us, we know we have more on our side. That's why there are more for us than against us. I think it was Elisha who told his when the servant, when he saw angels, when he saw the Assyrian army, you know, surrounding the house, he said, "Don't worry, there are more for us than are with them." Then he said, "God, open his eyes." Then he saw chariots of fire surrounding everywhere. Wow, look at that. So we need to always remember, because Jesus said it in Matthew 26:53, Matthew 26:53. I will in the Garden of Eden, Garden of Gethsemane. When they came to arrest him, he said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" So he said, "If you can come with all your soldiers, but if I need to ask, if not that this is what he has to do, he has to go to the cross." He could have asked for a legion of soldiers. So a legion of soldiers, 12 legions of angels could have been sent to rescue the Son of God. And God is not partial. It means that if we two are in any kind of trouble, we can send a legion and they will definitely rescue us. Now, a legion of soldiers in the Roman army at that time is said to be 6,000. 6,000. So 12 legions will be 72,000 angels coming to rescue the Son of God. Wow. On a single occasion. So now we have an idea of the kind of battalion of angels that are available for us, the children of God. Amen. So long as God can say of us, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased," the angels will come and fight for us. Hallelujah. Matthew 3:16-17, where Jesus Christ was baptized. Matthew 3:16-17. I'll read it. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me just do an aside. This is one of the places that you find Father, Son, and Holy Spirit manifesting separately. You know, they are one entity in one. And usually we see them operating in different forms. But this is the first time that we saw them, that human beings can say, that's the voice of the Father. Oh, that's the Son being baptized. And see the Holy Spirit descending upon him in a visible form. You can see the three of them. Amen.
Amen.
And they are doing the same work. All they are doing is getting the Son of God ready for his earthly ministry, empowering him for his earthly ministry. Amen. Amen. The other place we saw them was at the Red Sea. See the three of them at the Red Sea. The Lord Jesus was the Passover lamb that they ate the night before. So the Passover lamb was inside them. The Holy Spirit descended like a pillar of fire and cloud that separated the Egyptians from the Israelites. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says, in the morning watch, God came, looked through the pillar of fire and cloud, and his host of angels took off the chariot wheels of the Egyptians. And that was why the water was able to come over them and drown them. Amen. We serve a mighty God. Now, there's then the question, that how do we know that whether an entity is an angel or a demon? How do we know if an entity that we meet in the spirit, maybe in the dream or in a vision, how do we know whether it is an angel or a demon? Now, without the help of the Holy Spirit, this can be very difficult indeed. And that is why we need the spirit of discernment. That's that particular gift of the Holy Spirit, discerning of spirits. We need that. That's the only way that we can tell. Because demons are very deceptive. You see, they are very deceptive, and the Bible says they can even Satan can appear as an angel of light. They are set out to deceive us, and therefore they can look harmless and even look like an angel and even look like your favorite auntie or look like your mommy. Then of course you now trust it, but you are trusting a demon. Amen.
Amen.
Now we must never forget that human beings have their own angel. All right. So the angel of your mother, yes, can be sent, or the angel of your prayer partner or your GO or your pastor can be sent to minister to you. All right. Especially if that person is worried about you, is praying for you, then his angel will come and minister to you. But so demons have the power to take the form of humans, as I said, take the face of a loving one. They are shameless, unrepentant liars, and they can even tell you they're angels sent from God. So we have to be very, very careful. And as for the gift of discerning of spirits mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:10. 1 Corinthians 12:10. And we're also told in 1 John that we must test every spirit. You know, they said we must test every spirit. Usually if I'm not sure, I will just ask plain, are you a demon or an angel? Or who are you? One say, who are you? Like that. If it's a demon, he'll take off. He'll flee. Because it means that he knows you have seen through his deception. Even when you are waking up and you are still seeing that scenario, you can say, who are you? If you are an angel, I welcome you. If you are a demon, I bind you with chains and fetters of iron. That you will see, you will. The God will show you what is happening. This distinction is very, very crucial. We must always know whether we are dealing with an angel or a demon, because a demon is just a fallen angel. You see? So their essence is basically the same, except that a demon is evil and the angel of God is holy. And the way our reaction will be opposite. If we know this is an angel, well, we leave him alone. He came to help us. If he's a demon, then you must get rid of him. So it is important to always know whether it is an angel or a demon. And that's why we are told, test the spirit. Who are you? Lord, is that a demon or an angel? Because in a dream, you see, when you wake up from a dream, what is happening is still in the spirit world, and you can still do something about it. Don't think they've told you what is going to happen. Something has happened and it's happened. No. It's a warning. It's usually a warning. Or God may show us what has happened just to give you information. That one you may not be able to do anything about it. But if it is something that's happening now, you can still do something about it. Now there are a few points a few pointers to be able to know whether this is an angel or a demon. The first one is that check the form and the attitude. The form. What does it look like? The form, the way it is formed, the way it looks, and the aura around him. What do you feel? Are you fearful? Or do you feel... because your spirit, our spirits are more, they are more informed than we are. Aha, because our spirits are directed by the Spirit of God. The spirit of a spirit-filled Christian is directed by the Spirit of God. So you will know. Angels have a very loving and sweet aura about them. So you will just know that this is an angel who has come to help you. He will not come near you in an abrasive, you know, gra-gra way. No. He can just hang around you. But if he has a message, he will stand and tell you. Whereas a demon will always want to touch you. He will always want to touch you or intimidate you. The angels carry the presence of God because they live with him. So they have that awe, you know, that awe, that holiness about them. And you eventually just get to know that this is an angel. Their eyes are soft, they are kind when dealing with them, when dealing with us. But warrior angels are not always like that. They are very, you know, they are very businesslike, and you know, they've come to, they may not dress like warriors. They may just dress like, you know, but they are very deadly. And they don't have time with sentimentality. They've come to do a work and they will do it. If we are, angels don't like to be touched and they don't like you looking at their faces. In fact, they like to hide their faces. Or their faces will just be changing. You know? So I've learned not to stare at them. When I was young in the business, I want to look at them. And I would be asking, are you an angel? And they will hide their face. I remember one time some angels were washing dishes like in my kitchen. And I was very, you know, I was just getting used to this. This was on mission field. About 20 years ago. And I said, are you an angel? Are you angels or you are? Are you an angel? And she just sprinkled some water on my hand. And there was a terrible rash on my hands then. I used to suffer from eczema. Especially in medical school, when I have exams, you know, I would break out in a rash. So on mission field, things were hard and I had broken out in these rashes on the back of my hands. By morning, the rashes plus the places where I had scratched and had made a sore, they were completely healed. All you can see are just the black spots in the place where the sores had healed. So I had my answer that they were angels. I was completely healed. It was no longer itchy, it was no longer sore, and I was just completely healed. So that's how angels are. They don't like to be touched. They won't even come near you unless they need to touch, help you, or something like that. Now, an angel, demons, in contrast, demons are either seductive or they are just abrasive. You know, irritating. They want to come near you. They want to, you know, they want to grab you. In fact, they are grabbing your leg or they, you know. And they like to be stared at. They like you to look at them. And that is how a lot of carvings come to be. Those faces you see in carvings, in masks, masquerade masks and all that, they are faces of demons that people saw. And they carved it. So they like to be stared so that you can have a good impression on them, make a graven image of them, and worship them. So they have clear-cut features, or they may take the form of animals. Their favorite are birds, snakes, dogs, goats. So angels, demons... they can take the shape of animals. They can they don't always look frightful. The way they draw, you know, they draw images of demons, they don't always look like that. And that is why you need to know whether this is a demon or an angel. Amen. Now, the other thing you must do is that what did that entity, what did he do? What did he say? When he came, what did he say? What did he do? Did he bring comfort or he brought fear and dread? Is he fearful? They may look like a human being who's coming to, looking pathetic, coming to give you a bad news. Be sure that's not an angel. Because we have, you know, we hear some of these things from those who have been serving the devil and have now started serving God. They told us that before they can do something to do you in the physical, they will first do it in the spirit. And that is why people forget their dreams. Because once they do it in the spirit and they get away with it, then they can do it in the physical. Now they said, for instance, if you have a child or your husband or your wife and they want to kill that person, the wife or the child, or, and they see that this person is in like a cover, the prayer cover over that person, the person they want to kill, they will come to you. They will come to you, to the person who has this spiritual oversight or spiritual cover by prayer, and come and tell you that person is dead. And if you immediately say, oh no, you know, and begin to lament, you have agreed with them. That's it. They've gone to do it. Over and over and over again, I've seen that with my children. They will come and they're trying to bring bad news, and I would have to wake up and start canceling it. But I have now come to the point where I say, hey, this is Goshen. Don't bring bad news here. This is Goshen. There will be no mourning, no dread, no weeping in our family, no untimely death. Because there are times when you will also encounter what we call human spirits. It's usually human spirits that do that kind of coming to give you bad news. They are planning something for you in a coven, and they will now say, let's go and take permission to kill that child. Why can't we, you know, what's wrong with her? So we must know, don't say. The latest one I had was even a Christian that came to me. But immediately he came near, I saw that the skin was like the skin of a lizard. You know? With as if he has tiny, tiny pimples all over. You know? The face was rough, and immediately he moved near. So I knew this was not that person. So I just immediately just shut him up before he started talking. Amen. Now, if the other thing is, oh, so as I said, did he bring comfort or fear or dread? What did he say? What did he do? If he tries to touch you, that's unlikely to be an angel. If he wraps himself around you, of course, that's a demon. If he touches you seductively, then you know this is definitely a demon. The seducing spirit. You must bind it and deal with it. Amen. Even if it's carrying your mother's face, you must wake up and deal with it and bind it. Now, then you must check the way the message, maybe it came to deliver a message. You must check the way the message is delivered and the content of the message. Now, the Holy Spirit The Holy Spirit is gentle but is insistent. Angels are gentle and they will tell you what God says. And they will never say something contrary to the word of God. They will never say anything contrary to the word of God. And they will never say anything to blaspheme God. Like the serpent said to Eve. You say, yeah, had God said? Had God said? You see, the woman said, God said this. Had God said? That means, did he really mean it? Are you sure? She should have known immediately that that is a demon. Demons are always pushy. Pushy, they are loud. They want to push you into doing what the message they brought. Although they could be pretending. I remember a man told us a long time ago, it was in the one of these white garment churches. And we're trying to find out, yes, it was a gospel, you could see that. It was a gospel person, born again. So he said, we don't know why you are here. He said, after his mother died, his mother came in the dream to make him promise and swear to her that he will never leave that church. So I told him, I said, that's a demon, it's not an angel. An angel will never make you swear. An angel will never be pushy. He will just give you that message. He'll just give you the message that God sent him. Another thing about angels is that they usually talk through your heart. They speak to you without opening their mouth. You just hear what they're saying in your heart. They speak into your spirit. Of course, demons can do that too and be telling you lies. You just be hearing these lies inside you. But you will know what you have to do is to judge what they said by the word of God. So long as it does not, so long as it's against what God wants you to do, against the scripture, against the principles of scripture, then you must know that this is a demon. And you have to bind it and send it away. You must also be careful of messages that come to divert from laid down instructions. Demons do that all the time. If they know that this thing God asks you to do is going to be a threat to their kingdom, they'll come and tell you something better. Better do this. They can even dramatize it like in a dream. You see yourself doing the opposite of what God asked you to do. When that happens, you just wait. Take it back to God and wait. And God will confirm what he really wants you to do. Amen. All these are just guidelines. Different, it's in different ways. They come in different ways. But with practice, we would be able to tell. But that does not even mean that we won't make mistakes. But with practice, we make less and less mistakes. Now, you must check the details of the appearance. The appearance of the entity is very important. The appearance of the entity, of the spirit, is very important. Angels do not always dress in white. They can dress like an ordinary person. But one of the things I've noticed is that they are usually dressed in the colors of the tabernacle. The colors of the tabernacle. That is blue, red. Not red, but like wine, like your dress. Wine. They can wear white and they can wear purple. Usually pale colors, angels. Unless they want to use that unless they want to use it to talk to you. Like angels could wear black to warn you that they are shooting an arrow, a death arrow against you or a person in the family. They can wear black. They can dress like ordinary persons, or they can dress like Jesus used to dress in the Jesus films that we've seen. The way they dress at that time. But one of the colors that angels like wearing most is the sky blue, because they come from heaven. It's a pale blue. But they're always clean and they carry a glory about them. So you be in awe, you know that you are being visited by a visitor from heaven. They're always clean, yes? Sorry? Where did you? They're always clean and they carry a glory about them. You be in awe and you know that you are standing in the presence of someone from heaven. They may be washed in light, you know, like their clothes are as if it's there's a light inside, but not always. They may look like an ordinary human being, can dress like a man or a woman. They may likely not talk to you at all, because they bring messages which communicate with your spirit. They're spirits. They communicate with your spirit. They bring that message. But they'll be looking at you, and that message will be coming into your heart. And they will stand there until you pay attention. Of course, angels take the shape of women. They can take the form of women. Because after all, my angel will look like me. So he'll look like a woman. The angel of a woman will look like her. And there's a place in Zechariah 5:9 where they talked about two women angels. Zechariah 5:9. Then lifted I up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came two women, and the wind was in their wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. So those are two women. And in that place they were carrying a witchcraft spirit back to Babylon. Zechariah 5:9. Now the interesting thing about angels is that they may not show their wings, but on certain occasions they will show their wings. Their wings are not feathers, as the people always like to paintings show angels with wings like feathers, like the wings of a bird. No, those are not angels. The wings of an angel are made from the extension. They look like extensions of their skin. It's as if they put on, let's say they put on a mantle or a blanket, and they did like this, and it will form their wings. Amen. They can use you to cover you. They can use it to separate you from danger. On a missionary journey, I was in a luxury bus, and it broke down in the middle of nowhere, somewhere in Kwara or Kogi, very dangerous area. And I was only able to sleep when God showed me that they're angels, and it's as if they're wearing a big robe, you know, that's like agbada, you know. So they covered us. They covered the whole bus, front, back, top. They covered it, so I slept off. It is witchcraft that have feathers, so not angels. D demons are usually rough and dirty, and they may dress like the occult, raw. They just dress like the cult that they represent. Not always, because they want to deceive you. You may see an angel with flashing eyes. I've seen that like twice before. The eyes were red like fire and flashing. Not always, but it can happen. The other thing is that one entity you may encounter in the spirit world is Satan himself. When he has sent all the other demons to come and deal with you, and they can't, he will come himself. And he's very bold. He can grab you, he can touch you, because you know he's Lucifer that is used to the fire, consuming fire of God. So even though the Bible says he makes his ministers flaming fire, he's used to that fire. But we still overcome him. You can't bind Satan. What you say is the Lord rebuke you. When you wake up, that looks like the Lord rebuke you. You usually carry the face of somebody whose name, you know. It may be the one that will show you that this is Lucifer. You usually carry the face of somebody whose name may show you that this is. Like I know somebody whose name is Lulu. When Satan comes, he usually carries his face. And I used to ask God, but this is my cousin, why? He said, Lulu Lucifer now. Lucifer. That's why he carries that face. And of course, if Lucifer can carry the face of somebody, you have to be careful of that person. I saw him lately carry the face of a Christian actor that acted the part of Lucifer in a film, in a movie. He acted the part of Lucifer in a movie. But the way he behaved, I knew that this is not that man. Because that man is a true Christian. So I knew that what God was just trying to show me is that is Lucifer. Now, that is Satan himself. Now, when Satan comes like that, you will know that you have given him a run for his money. You've given him a tough time. And he wants to come and make trouble with you. My last encounter with him was when I went down with malaria about 2 weeks ago. I went down with malaria. But at least he went. He knows that God dealt with him well after that encounter. Now, angels are never barefooted. They wear the armor of God. So, sandal of peace is there. But we have angels whose feet are like that of a calf. You know, that's a baby cow. You know how the feet of a cow is. The angels whose feet look like that. Ezekiel 1, some of the angels that came with God, you know, with the encounter Ezekiel had with him. Now, demons may have hoofs, like the hoof of a horse, or the feet of other animals, or claws, you know, like lions, you know, I've seen that before. Like real lions or dragons, you know. And water spirits usually hide their feet. They'll be wearing floppy white dress. They'll be hiding their feet. So that you won't know that they don't have feet. They have fish tail. Now fish tail. They're hiding their fish tails, not feet. Um, angels are very sensitive to human attitude, and God warned us of that. I have mentioned that before. Now, that's in Exodus 23:20-21. Exodus 23:20-21. He said, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him." That means be careful with him. Beware that he's around. At least if a visitor is around, there's a way we'll behave better than if there's no visitor there. That's what God is saying. Then he said, "Obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him." Amen. And that's why we need discernment. Or we'll be binding the angels, and that will provoke them to anger. Because it means that you are just a careless Christian who doesn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Demons, they don't care if you are rude. They too are rude. They have bad attitude. They have foul language. They can be sulky, bad-mannered, violent. And as you are dealing with them, they too may be dealing with you. That one, you know already, that one is a demon. Or a witch. Or the human spirit of a witch. If they come and pounce on you, try to wrestle you to the ground, come and fight you, that one is not an angel. So deal with them as needful. Amen. As I said, angels may look like somebody we know. And that means God has sent the angel of that person to assist us. And this happens when that person is praying for you or is concerned about you. Demons too have this ability to carry the face of somebody you know and trust. But when they do evil, you will know that it is not that person. If that person is a good person, they may want to cause confusion between you and a loved one. God will sometimes allow demons to carry the face of a friendly enemy. Somebody that you thought is a friend, but here he is, you know, coming to attack you in the dream. You have to be careful of that person.
Of a friendly enemy.
Because God wants to expose that friendly enemy. Will not come and attack you or something, you know. That it means that God is trying to warn you about that person. But as I said, it may be that they want to carry the face of that person that you love and trust so that they can cause disaffection between you. You just have to pray about it. Is this person, does he have hidden hatred for me inside the person? Or this is a demon that's trying to cause trouble between us? We must always be ready to subject every spirit to the test, as enjoined in Scripture. And we must always inquire of the Lord. You need to make use of the whole revelational package that God gives you about that entity. What does it look like? What's he wearing? What, you know, and so on and so forth. But what I do is to pray both ways. I usually pray both ways. If he's an angel, you can't bind him. He's a demon. The minute you want to bind him, he'll run away or he'll be bound. You see him bound. His hands at the back or in handcuffs. So you know that's not an angel. So whatever he came to do or whatever he tells you, reject it, and whatever he came to do, you cancel it. First John 4:1-3 talks about all this we've been talking about. That must test spirits. First John 4:1-3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. How do we try spirits? Just what I've been saying. What is he wearing? What did he say? What is the attitude? Did he do anything unscriptural? Did he try to be seductive, attack me, or what? Is he a liar? And so on and so forth. He said, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The same way you test a false prophet. What did he say? Did he read scriptures? Is he even born again? Does he even talk like somebody is born again? And so on and so forth. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So any church, any false prophet that is saying God cannot have a child, God, how can God be a man? How can they kill God? You know that that one, the spirit inside that person is not of God. Or the spirit in that religion is not of God. That is how we know some pseudo-Christian churches. False Christian churches. They say there's nothing like the cross. There's one of them that says there's nothing like the cross. It's a tree. He hung on a tree. Jesus hung on a tree. You see? But we know that he was given the cross to carry, to Calvary. Even though the Bible says in Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. But a cross is made from wood. And when you set it up, it looks like a tree. So why are we having that conversation? It means that there's an evil spirit that is contending with the fact that the Son of God took our sins on the cross of Calvary. That person is trying to mess with the atonement work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is the Antichrist. In fact, that's what they say here. Verse 3 said, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it should come. And even now it's already in the world. The Antichrist is already in the world, though. He hasn't manifested. Any religion or anyone that messes, tries to change anything about Jesus Christ as is written in scripture, from his virgin birth to his death and atonement work on the cross to his resurrection to the fact that he is the Son of God. Somebody said, you Christians that say he's the Son of God because you are being sentimental. I said, no. God said, this is my beloved Son. And he said it twice. God said, and Jesus himself said, calls him Father. Over and over. John 17 called him Father over and over and over. And it's not as if he's his adopted father. No. He said it's his father. It's my father. And the father said, this is my son. So this is how we test the spirits. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We test the spirits. So I think, let me see. Can we quickly do this? Let's close. Let's pray. We'll continue next time. Let's thank the Lord for teaching us about his angels. Father, we thank you for teaching us about our angels, by your angels. Because it is written that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth will make you free. Father, thank you for opening our eyes for to this provision that you made for us. Blessed be your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's ask God to assign angels to us in this work as ministers of God. We need ministering angels. We need warring angels. We need that, Lord, and we also need for our loved ones. Lord, assign angels to me in this warfare that you have sent me as the work of the watchman and the work of prophetic teaching. Angels to teach me, to minister to me when I'm tired. Angels to fight and defend me in the name of Jesus. Angels to protect my children, my their spouses, my grandchildren, and all our loved ones, so that I will not be distracted from the work. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. Teach us, O God. Let's ask God to teach us to know the difference between demons. Let's ask for that gift of discernment. Father, we ask you that you give us the spirit of discernment, that gift, so that we can know, Lord, to be able to know angels from demons, to be able to know the spirit behind any situation we are dealing with. Father, we ask that you help us, Lord. Help us, direct us, Lord. Teach us how to handle your angels. Let's ask him. Teach us how to deal with angels, how to relate to them, and make full use of their help. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, help us not to grieve our angels. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay.